Welcome back to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. So I just had like Team Alive, who were incredibly live and shared so much wonderful information. It's been a really exciting process partnering with them as the NAGB, and I'm so glad to finally have gotten a chance to have them in the studio. I know that Amanda's had a chance to interview them, but whenever I get a chance to guest spot, it's always nice to have conversations with folks with whom I've worked. So this is going to be extra fun in the last segment because I see some of these folks all the time. I know, woo-woo. Oh, yes. Again, I'm Malika Pryor-Martin, and I'm standing in for our regular host, Executive Director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, Amanda Coulson. And you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio, just in case you weren't sure which radio station you were listening to. Don't forget, you can take us with you when you're on the move or traveling in foreign lands by live streaming us at www.guardiantalkradio.com. You can also go to the app or Play Store and download TuneIn Radio to listen to us. So tonight, for our last segment of the show, we have with us, and these are all folks who are representing our most recent exhibition. It just opened last Thursday to a wonderful audience and crowd and fantastic artist talk. Super, super cool. So it's the seventh installation of Double Dutch, which is a series of exhibitions and that was established by NAGB Chief Curator Holly Bino, that bring Bahamian artists together with artists that represent other elements of the Caribbean region and diaspora, and they engage in this sort of playful conversation, hence Double Dutch. And so this particular installation is titled Hot Water, and I think, I want to say, hopefully I'm not right, Holly, you can like text me later if I'm wrong. And this is the first time we're doing, like, that we have two collectives. Absolutely. We can blame Cletus the fetus for that. Pregnancy brain. As their brains get bigger, your brain gets smaller. But yes, so this is the first time that we've had two collectives. And we have Bahamas Expo 2020 in the house tonight, and Plástico Fantástico, which represents various parts of Latin America, Brazil, as well as parts of the diaspora that are living in the UK and the US as well. Because we out here. But we have the Bahamian contingent this evening, and I'm very, very glad to have you all in the house, Bahamas Expo 2020. And the fantastic individuals who make up this wonderful collective include Mariah Lightborn, who is a recent grad from the University of Bahamas. Shouts out to UB. Go Mingos. Ide Thompson, who is a current student at the university and majoring in English and history. Assistant Professor Michael Edwards, and Associate Professor Ian Bethel Bennett. And so while all of you in various ways are regulars, I say that like the NAGB's cheers or something, but you are in different kinds of ways. I mean, Ian, you write for the ANC that we facilitate. Ide, as Communications and Development Officer, I'm consistently, it is my job to troll our Facebook page. And you are not a Facebook troll, by the way. You are fabulous, and you share our information and content and all that good stuff. So he's like an NAGB like Facebook champion. Yeah, so I know this because I'm our assigned internal troll. And Mariah, I know that you've done intern work with us as well. And Michael, I mean, you've been featured in exhibition. Well, you as well, Ian, also featured in the last NE8.
Shocking.
But as an artist as well. But this is a different sort of platform and way of engaging with the museum. And so how has that experience been? What was it like sort of engaging in Double Dutch and sort of being a part of an exhibition in this kind of way?
Thank you, Malika. Good evening.
Good evening.
So as you had mentioned, this is the first time Double Dutch is engaging two collectives, right? So Expo 2020, Plástico Fantástico. And so I think it was the first it was a new experience, I think, not only for the gallery, but for the curator, Holly Bino.
Sure.
And so that was a lot to take on, right? And so we are Expo 2020. So 2 years ago, we embarked on a major project to host the Bahamas' pavilion in Dubai.
Okay, tell us a little
and
about
so
that.
And so that's a global innovation kind of initiative where every 5 years countries come together to put forward what they're doing. It's really a snapshot of innovation in particular countries.
Like all over the world.
So the last Expo was in 2015 in Milan. In 2020, it will be in Dubai. And so that will be a representation, yes, of course. That will be a representation of 180 countries, I do believe, or plus somewhere maybe under 200. And it's really identifying problems for different countries, right? So identify those wicked social problems and then coming up with solutions, answers to some of those wicked problems. And so the Bahamas has, so major theme, connecting minds, creating the future, sub-themes, opportunity, sustainability, and mobility.
And this is for the expo.
And, and this is where the exhibition comes in. The Bahamas has identified we will be under the sustainability sub-theme quadrant.
Which makes total sense.
And so really that's the guiding light for us, right? Okay. That's kind of outlining all of the work that we're doing in terms of looking at some of the challenges that we have around sustainability. And that's a big word as we talk about social, the economic, and of course the environmental issues, challenges that we have. And so we're using that to kind of guide the work that we're doing. And that's taken us down a couple of different paths. One of those is identifying Ragged Island for a couple of different reasons. One, it's small. It was flattened by the recent hurricane, Irma. And so we saw that as an opportunity.
She was devastating. She was devastating.
She was. She was a tough one. So we saw that as the opportunity to really jump on the bandwagon, so to speak, and kind of address some of the wicked societal challenges that we have around the built environment. One, how we construct on the land. And then two, the non-built environment. How do we, in a smart way, use design to tackle some of these issues? That took us to work to kind of outline an ambitious summer project of looking at Ragged Island with a closer eye, of interviewing residents and descendants of Ragged Island, first here on New Providence, taking an ethnographic approach. As smart designers, it's good to kind of collect stories and collect all of these narratives. And then subsequently going to Ragged Island. Of course, when we set out to go to Ragged Island by air, that that presented some challenges, of course. So back to one of those substitutes.
I'm looking at your face, Ian.
It shows a lack of mobility in the, the country.
So one of the sub-themes being mobility. Yeah. And so we quickly found out that the cost of traveling around the Bahamas is prohibitive, right?
Which is something that through our travel, in our Inner Island Traveling Exhibition, we are continually discovering. Absolutely.
And so again, that's an issue in and of itself in terms of mobility. How are we kind of situated in the Bahamas in terms of centralized government, decentralization? And so that was one issue. The second issue is in terms of the project was so it took us 3 days to get to Ragged Island.
So did all of you?
Yes, and maybe these guys may want to jump in.
It's my first time on a mailboat, actually, going to Ragged Island.
Okay, and this is Ide talking.
It was an amazing experience, you know, seeing, because we traveled down to the Exuma chain that we went down, and it's a totally different experience coming from Nassau, seeing, you know, the private keys there, and how those are, you know, situated economically and socially, and then seeing the settlement, Sanyo Key, and then getting on the Ragged Island and seeing the differences geographically and socially.
You get
a more fuller picture of what the Bahamas is like, what we've been historically, or what we are now. You know,
Mara, do you want to add to that? You were also on the mailboat.
No,
you didn't go. Okay,
she didn't have a visa for the mailboat, so she was a part of the collective from before that, and then just decided she didn't want to hang out with us for that long.
Is this like lignum vitae shade that's happening right now on Lake Havas?
Because the trip actually took 5 or 6 days overall, and it took 3 days to get down there, and then it took 36 or 38 or 100 hours to get back on a straight run.
Wow.
So it was not for the faint of heart. And we had 6 hours on the ground.
6 hours on Ragged Island on to interview residents on the ground. And so it was it was fast. So, so 3 days to get there, and then 6 hours on the ground, and then 36 hours, approximately 36 hours
to get back,
to get back on one engine, I might add, right?
So okay.
And so it was quite a an adventure, to say the
least. Eye-opening, I'm sure.
Very eye-opening.
As you've already sort of articulated. Yeah. So you get to Ragged Island, you have the opportunity to interview locals. So what were some of those narratives? What were some of those conversations that you were able to engage in and to sort of enter into? And then what was that experience like?
Well, it was definitely shocking to see the condition of the settlement of Duncantown there when we got there. It was still, mainly buildings still, you know, our staffs are being repaired. You know, for instance, the school was still, you know, in tatters. The broken walls, you know.
No, just for clarity, this is about 9 months post, approximately at this point. Okay.
So, you see, it's like almost like an air resetting of like a horror movie. You go there, you see just deserted buildings.
Okay.
That's the experience you feel when you go there. And to see people still inhabiting that space, it speaks to the vitality and, you know, the that ability to survive no matter what.
Absolutely. The grit of the people, and the determination as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And so, of course, it's never enough time to speak with folks. And
6 hours is not a lot of time, irrespective that's not a lot of time. Yeah, so.
Absolutely. And so there were a couple of highlights, for me at least, on the trip. One was being able to interview Edward Lockhart.
Okay.
Edward Lockhart was the gentleman who tied himself to the tree during the hurricane for 2-3 days, right? Mm. On Buena Vista Key, if I can recall correctly. And so we were able to interview him. We picked him up our last stop before Ragged Island, and he came on board. I think we picked him up maybe 1 o'clock in the morning or something like this.
Right, yeah.
And so just in the distance, you know, you were able to see him jump on his boat and come on board. So that was pretty important for us. And, of course, the second thing for me, again, was we received a text from one of the members of Restoration Ragged Island Association, Ellery Lockhart, and I do remember this vividly. He sent a text because we were moving in and out of cell towers, of course, right? So communication was spotty.
Sure.
He sent a text and he said, "You're going to hit a rough patch. Tell everyone else to bunker down." And of course, you read it. You didn't know what it meant at the time. And so when we woke up the next morning, the boat was rocking like no one's business. This was like rough patch. I think it was called the Cut or the Ragged Island
passage.
And I got up and I went on deck and I said, oh boy. I prayed. I said, oh dear God, this is your humble servant, Michael. I have done anything wrong, if you get me through this, I will be the best servant
ever.
Right? It was rough. So that lasted for about 3 hours. That was the final kind of passage, rites of passage, before we got to Ragged Island. And so that was go through that. That was a bit much to put up with.
And I think it really speaks to how the country is laid out, because we assume that it's all just water. And it's easy to cross. It's easy to get from point A to point B.
Sure.
And that passage connects us with the Southern Caribbean or the Northern Caribbean. So Haiti, Cuba.
Cuba, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that. So when you think about the way people have to move through that passage, it explains how risky it is for people to get on boats and come here or flee their country.
Sure.
To find a better way of life, and how seafaring Bahamians were, many of them still are,
absolutely,
in terms of being able to traverse these waters regularly.
Right.
You know, we forget that being Nassuvians who do not like to be on the water. We go to the beach, but we tend not to get too deep into the water unless it's like a homecoming or something
sure,
like that.
Sure, regatta.
Right.
And that was a recurring narrative, right? Yeah. As we interviewed residents, descendants, even here in New Providence, looking at historical trade between Ragged Island, Cuba, Haiti, they had more of an affiliation with Haiti than New Providence, right? New Providence is very far. You went to New Providence when it was absolutely, that was the last resort.
Right.
You would go south, right? Yeah. So that was unearthing that kind of information was pretty important, right? Especially for the students hearing this kind of rich information.
Right, so. Because of course, the cultural paradigm that we live in assumes that this is normal and it's been forever.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And the reality is that mm-hmm. the southern islands were far more developed than the Bahamas was. Mm-hmm. And now that the Bahamas
It's flipped.
Oh. But it could easily at any time flip back.
Sure.
Because of the way geopolitics work and because of the way development practices.
Mm-hmm. And the question comes up all the time, why Ragged Island? Why are you so interested in Ragged Island? Well, I have really no real interest in Ragged Island. I mean, actually, my family is from Eleuthera. But I'm curious, there's a curiosity about Ragged Island for a couple of reasons. It was flattened by hurricane. It's small enough for us to wrap our arms around, right?
Sure.
To look at systems, food systems, energy systems, right. Water systems, yeah. And come up with models for the future, right? And it ties back into Expo 2020. How are you thinking about the future? How are you thinking? What are some of the outcomes out of Expo? Is it just about a physical legacy called a pavilion with some food, junk and music, and the party is over?
Right.
What are you going to begin to do post-2021.
Now, how did that translate into the exhibition? Because like all of this is like incredibly interesting information. Oh, and before we finish the segment...
We're here to talk about the exhibition.
we have to talk about how that... How, you have to come back. That's what this means. Obviously. It means that you have to come back. Yeah.
Right.
You have to come back. Mm-hmm. Just one more time for the people in the back. But quickly, how did that... All of that information, all of that experience, or at least what portions did you choose? Because I imagine on some level you had to be selective. Every narrative couldn't be represented. Right. Obviously, it was also a collaborative effort with another collective. So it wasn't just like two artists working. It's multiple people on each side having to come to some sort of consensus and then having to come together in the space and make some decisions about what that would look like. So how... I'm so sorry, Lord. In like 3 minutes,
condense that's
yeah. How
that's
did you
a
manage
lot.
To
it's
do
tough.
Some
so,
of it down?
Do you think Mariah could answer that? And
of course she can.
Mariah, yeah,
she's a UB alum. She can. Yeah. She can handle
what?
That.
She's got this.
Well,
no pressure.
Working in a group is always a challenge for me.
Okay.
You know, getting to know people and the way they think and process things. And then having to follow a direction in which doesn't necessarily follow your mindset.
Okay.
That's one thing. When we had initially started our part on the project, Ida and I worked on a script that would represent a lot of the fears and concerns of the Ragged Islanders that we interviewed both here and in Ragged Island. And a story that can be conveyed, but also somewhat palatable to be able to make it more identifiable,
okay.
To kind of blend that connection between... I've noticed a lot in the Bahamas, we have this very idea of us and them.
Okay.
Us meaning us here in Nassau, them on the islands, us, them being tourists, a lot of that. But it's very rare that you come across someone who thinks of all of us as a whole, which is difficult considering... the connectivity between us and
the difficulty of facilitating that connectivity and maintaining it.
It makes it extremely difficult to connect. So we start off with a script, but then we had to scrap that. It was a bit of a struggle trying to figure out how to integrate it into the space.
Okay.
And we began to focus more on the conditions of Ragged Island and the resources of Ragged Island, what Ragged Island means to Ragged Islanders. A lot of focus on water and what the future would look like for us, taking in, you know, global warming and the increase of hurricanes and the
sure.
dangers in that.
All the external factors over which we literally have no control.
Right.
Or do we?
Dun, dun, dun. I see that. See what you're doing there. Okay. So, Edie, did you want to add to that just a little bit? Because we've got like a whole other minute for you to expound
like Mariah
all
said,
this
like,
incredible information.
Like we wanted to make sure that we spoke Ragged Island's voice. We got their voice, their perspective heard, because, as you said, a lot of farmers, we consider this us and them kind of mentality. And so it's reconnecting people with the voices from the various peoples in the Bahamas, the various islands, these keys and rocks, where we can begin to, you know, reshape our own narratives, you know, and begin to, you know, chart our way forward in the rest of the century. You know, are we going to adapt to our ever-changing environment, you know, and really show other people around the world where we can help them to adapt their own environments? So there's this cross-pollination of, you know, ideas and culture.
You guys so have to come back.
I'm just going to jump in there one second and say, you know, I think this speaks to what we are trying to do as a part of Expo 2020, but also as a university that is promoting sustainable island, small island sustainability program, and looking at how we develop out from there. And one way to do that is to integrate all the islands in the Bahamas and to integrate the Caribbean into the Bahamian context, because we tend to still see things as very
us and balkanized, them, more, us and them. Yeah.
And that is unfortunate, because so many lessons can be learned
from each other.
Yes, exactly.
And the big experiment. The big experiment being, how do you balance cultural identity with technological advancement?
Yeah.
Right? How do we wish to see ourselves 30 years into the future? What will be this place called the Bahamas?
Which is also so interesting in thinking about our earlier segments where we were talking about augmented reality and people being able to discover historic Bahamas utilizing technology. So all of this, oh my goodness, OMG, OMG, I've only got 55 minutes.
Augmented reality, I just,
yeah, so cool. I'm
actually excited with Expo 2020. And
that's something that we've been talking about around the table for the last
virtual reality, 2 years. Augmented reality, we've been like high on this technology and how that can aid in the work that we do.
Yeah.
So listen, you have been listening to the most Liddy of all Liddy Blake campuses on 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. I want to thank all of my amazing guests that were here today, from Alive, Gravette Brown, Sheridan Thompson, Kendrick Delaney's, Corey Seymour, as well as Anissa Adderley, and from Bahamas Expo 2020, Mariah Lightborn, E.D. Thompson, Michael Edwards, assistant professor at UB, and Ian Bethel Bennett, associate professor at UB as well. This has just been a fabulous series of conversations, and I'm definitely looking forward to you guys making your way back. Thank you all so very much. You're listening to Malika Pryor Martin filling in for your regular host, executive director at the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, Amanda Carlson. Make sure to visit your National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, your art museum, your national collection. Thank you so very much, and have a wonderful, wonderful evening. Good night.